From WBEZ Chicago, it's This American Life. I'm Ira Glass, and this is a special pledge drive edition of our show, which means that it's a really good show because we're playing you some of our favorite stories all this hour to, you know, remind you why you should support this public radio station. And let's just jump right in, okay? This first story is one that we first heard like years ago, but when I meet people, so many people tell me that this is their favorite story that we have ever aired on the program. It's a story about a squirrel and some cops. The person who tells it is a police officer in a suburban community on the East Coast.
There was nothing going on. Saturday night in this village, really quiet, super cold. And this call came over for unknown animal in a house. And it was on my post. It was about 5 minutes away. So myself and another car were assigned the call, and we show up there. And luckily for me, it was another guy who was pretty new. So we walk up to the door with all our stuff on, you know, the nylon coat, the vest, the belt, the whole nine yards. And the door opens, and the guy who is behind the door, he's about 30. I was 23 at the time. He's about 30. He looks like a broker, a lawyer. He's just really well put together, nice guy, wearing glasses. He's wearing these like silk pajamas with a monogram, got my attention.
Wow.
And he's going, listen, really sorry to bother you. Normally I'd handle this sort of stuff on my own, but my wife really insists that I call. And so we ask him what the problem is. He says, well, we were having kind of a romantic evening down in the living room, and we heard this scratching upstairs. So I ran upstairs to see what it was. And it turns out it's coming from the attic. There's something up there, and it's just running around, knocking a few small things over. I can't tell what it is. It could be a squirrel or a raccoon. I really don't know. So the other cop that I was with said, well, you know, we really don't handle that. It's not so much a police function. It's, you know, but we do have numbers of these private contractors who'll come in and they'll put a humane trap down and they'll remove the animal for you. And it's really not such a big deal, but it's really not our thing. So right as he was in the middle of saying that and getting us off the hook, the guy swings the door back and there's his wife, who was just beautiful. She was beautiful. She was probably about 26 or 27, but just really beautiful, like perfect skin, long blonde hair, great teeth, brilliant blue eyes, a really nice smile, just like beautiful and friendly. You know, if she had said, you know, eat this broken glass, I just would have said, okay, broken glass it is, it's fine. But she seemed really nice, so I was going to be like Galahad. So I just threw my arm back into this guy's chest, into my partner's chest, and I said, Mark, we can handle this. It'll be okay. And she just was just, you know, oh, thank you so much. And she was really sweet, and I was, like, struck dead. So we walk inside, and she goes, I'm going to throw a pot of coffee on. And we go upstairs. We follow the man of the house upstairs. And we're underneath one of those trap doors that goes into the attic with the staircase that folds out.
Right.
And we do hear an animal upstairs scratching away, just kind of scuttling around the floor. And there's definitely something up there. And it's making pretty good speed up, going from one end of the roof to the other. So I reached up and I took the trap door down. And we unfolded the ladder. And I have this big, heavy flashlight, you know, like your cop flashlight, the 4D cells, the metal case, the whole thing.
Right.
And I shine it up through the hole in there, and it's pretty black. I can see the rafters, but really nothing else around there. And I start up the ladder. Now, the guy who owned the house is standing almost directly underneath me, just to the side of the ladder, looking straight up at me. And my partner's at the base of the ladder, right behind me. So just before I stuck my head through this, like, black hole, I just kind of paused. Like, I crunched my body up underneath because I'm realizing, gee, you know, I don't know where this thing is. The second we pulled down the trap door, all noise upstairs just ceased. So I was kind of nervous, and I was like, well, you know, I look like an idiot just crouched up here on the top of the ladder. So I took the flashlight, and I just popped my head up, turned the light on again, and about 6 inches from the front of my face was this squirrel at eye level with me, kind of reared back on its legs. And I swear, from where I was standing, it looked like Godzilla. It just scared the heck out of me. I thought, it's a squirrel. It's going to be hiding somewhere. It's going to be terrified of me. was 6 inches away from me, and it really startled me. So I kind of went, ah, and jumped back. And the flashlight slips out of my hands. It's heavy, and it falls directly onto the nose of the guy who's looking straight up at me. And I don't think it broke it, but it did some damage. And his nose, his hands went up to his face. Blood just started pouring out between his hands.
This is the homeowner.
This is the homeowner. I lose my balance and fall backwards directly onto my partner. And I pancake. We're both on our backs. He's on his back. I'm on his stomach on my back, scuttling around like a beetle trying to get up in this really narrow hallway. It's a mess. The squirrel, while we're floundering around in the hallway, jumps down the stairs, boink, 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 lands on me, and takes off down the stairs.
How undignified.
It was terrible. It was terrible. So we're wondering, gee, where is the squirrel? And right at that second, the woman who lived there, you hear her scream. So my partner goes, well, you know, we found the squirrel. It's wherever she is.
Yeah.
So we go running downstairs, and the squirrel had come into the living room where they had been having their, like, romantic evening. They had a fire going. They had pillows arranged around one corner of the couch next to the fire, and they had champagne flutes out. And nice house. Really nice. I mean, it just smelled brand new. New carpeting, new rugs, new paint. They hadn't been there for that long. So the squirrel, when it bolted down the staircase, took off into the living room and ran underneath a couch for cover. So we run downstairs. This guy is bleeding all over the place on his carpets. His wife looks and says, you know, what have you done to my husband? And I start going, oh, it was an accident. And I just stop in mid-sentence. What's the point? We've only been there about 2 minutes. So the squirrel is underneath the couch, and my partner's going, you know, let's get out of here. This is just, you know, it's not going well. So I am, you know, I'm not beaten yet. I always have another idea. So the squirrel is under this couch, which is in the middle of the room. So I have this bright idea. Why don't we move the furniture away from one of the corners, and we'll put the couch in the corner, and the squirrel will probably move along with the couch because it's the only cover available to it. And once we get into the corner, we'll only have two open sides of the couch to worry about. So we did that.
That is so tactical.
Yes. Yeah, I was very proud of myself at that instant. But, you know, I asked her for a box, and she says, sure, we've got boxes. We just moved in. We have nothing but boxes. She runs out to the garage, and she comes back with a box. And the box is long enough, and it fits across the entire short side of the couch where the armrest would be. So I start sweeping underneath the couch with my nightstick, trying to move the squirrel toward the box, figuring we'll capture it and just get rid of it, and we'll be out of here, and there'll be no more, you know, mayhem. So it's actually working very well, and the squirrel's moving down along. You can hear it. It's chittering, and I'm trying not to hurt it. You know, I feel kind of, I'm nervous about the thing. It might bite me. I don't want to hurt it, really. You know, it's just an animal.
Right.
So I'm moving it along, and everything's going very well. And then with about 8 inches to go, I took one more swipe, and the thing just bolted out from underneath the couch. It was lined with, like, tassels. I couldn't really see into the couch. It bolted out from underneath the couch and ran directly into the fireplace, which is about 3 feet away. The fireplace was directly ahead of it, and it ran into the fire.
Oh, my.
And caught on fire and ran directly back out and directly back under the couch.
Is it on fire?
Yeah, the tail, the bushy fur, the whole bit. I mean, it wasn't like flaming or anything, but there was, you know, it was smoking, and there was a little bit of fire coming off the tail. So it runs back under the couch, and the couch catches on fire in seconds. I mean, in seconds, it must have had dust under there or something else, but it caught on fire immediately. And my partner and I just don't even talk. We just grab the couch, heave it upside down, and now there's plenty of oxygen now for the fire to really get going, and it starts up, and we're patting it out, and it's sort of getting away from us. So we grab the only thing that's really available, and those are these really nice silk pillows, and we have one in each hand, the both of us, and we're just windmilling away at this fire on the couch, and we put it out, but it's smoking terribly, and it was a disaster. The couch is upside down. The bottom of it is burnt. The house is filling with smoke from the couch. The squirrel, when it went under the couch in its death throes, just latched onto the bottom of the couch. It's like this smoking piece of gristle underneath the couch, latched on there with its claws, and we're pounding, smearing it all over the place, and the smoke alarms are firing away. The guy's standing in his, you know, with handkerchiefs and paper towels up around his nose, which is still bleeding. His pajamas are a mess. They're covered with blood, the front of them. And we finally get the fire out, and we're both completely red, sweating because we're dressed for like 0 degree weather, and it's hot there by the fire. We're mortified. The house is full of smoke. The wife just looks around and just starts to cry. She goes, What have you done? What have you done to my house? You could see her just like clicking things off on her fingers. Okay, the dead squirrel, ruined pillows, need a new couch. The walls are covered with soot. The fire alarms are going off. My husband's disfigured. And then she really kind of just lost it. And he was just looking at us and shaking his head like he couldn't believe that these two idiots showed up and did this to his house over nothing, really. And he just goes, you know, you really haven't done anything wrong. I can't point to any one thing that you did that I have a reason to get angry about. You really haven't done anything wrong. I mean, we did call you. But I can't thank you for this. They call for a squirrel. They end up with like $3,000, $4,000 worth of damage and a broken nose. And this is all within about 5 minutes.
Could that have happened to you now, 13 years later?
There's always a new mistake to be made. I don't think I would make that particular mistake, you know. I mean, you make plenty of mistakes. That's just part of that job. You just try not to make the same one twice. But there's such variety that if you're going to make hundreds, you're going to make thousands of mistakes.
Can I say, like, what I love about that story is it's just out for fun. And yes, on our radio show, This American Life, and on this radio station, we take pride in bringing you serious journalism that is as original and as rigorously reported as you can find anywhere. And here on our program, there are stories that we go so hardcore on and spend months on, tracking down difficult-to-find interviewees and talking them into going on the record. And we pour through documents and FOIA requests and uncover things that nobody has reported on before. We do that. But also, we want the show to be an entertainment. Like, we take pride in the fact that it is entertaining. We want it to be engaging and emotional and fun. We want it to be all those things. If you like that mix, if you like stories like this one, that is one of the things you get here on this radio station and on our show. And can I say, you are the person I'm talking to during the pledge drive when I and others on the station say, support the station. Like, we're not talking about some theoretical other person. I think a lot of people think that, oh, they're not talking to me. No, I am totally talking to you, not somebody who's richer or more conscientious or somebody with more free time right this second. I'm not talking to somebody else. I'm talking to you. If you like this story, this station needs money, and the most logical person for them to get it from are the people who enjoy what it's making, and that's you. And if you can help out, please, here's how to pledge.